Let me say welcome. If you're our guest, we're so glad that you've come to be with us tonight. You have come on an unusual Sunday evening. Most Sunday nights, almost all of them, we're here and we're singing as we've done, but then opening God's Word and studying it together, and that's our joy. I've been working through the book of Daniel on Sunday night, and we'll be back there, Lord willing, I think this next Sunday night there's something else happening, but soon we'll be back in Daniel and working our way through, so we hope that you'll come and be with us on a regular Sunday evening. But tonight, it's called an annual meeting, but that's kind of a misnomer. I grew up in Southern Baptist circles where a business meeting was anything but a celebration. It was like you came with popcorn to see the fights. And one actually almost broke out in the Baptist church I grew up in over the placement of the piano on the stage. Literally, the chairman of the deacon board and the husband of the pianist almost came to blows standing face to face right down there in front. Nothing like that's going to happen tonight, sorry. So you brought your popcorn to no avail. Instead, what is going to happen is we're going to have a chance to just celebrate God's goodness together. And that's really what this is about. So we do welcome you. Hope you'll come back and be with us again on a more normal Sunday night. But I hope you'll also rejoice with us in God's goodness if you happen to be with us as our guest tonight. With that, I'm going to ask Jonathan Anderson to come and just sort of tune our hearts toward what we're going to be doing together.
As we begin our time together tonight, I just wanted us to read from the book of 1 Corinthians. I'll read starting in verse 2. It says, "To the church of God which is at Corinth, to those who have been sanctified in Christ Jesus, saints by calling, with all who in every place call on the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, their Lord and ours. Grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. I thank my God always concerning you for the grace of God which was given you in Christ Jesus, that in everything you were enriched in him, in all speech and all knowledge, even as the testimony concerning Christ was confirmed in you, so that you are not lacking in any gift, awaiting eagerly the revelation of our Lord Jesus Christ, who will also confirm you to the end, blameless in the day of our Lord Jesus Christ. God is faithful, through whom you are called into fellowship with his Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord." You know, we're going to reflect tonight on God's grace and faithfulness to our church. Thankfully, we're not like the church in Corinth in a lot of ways, but we share those core things that Christ just highlighted. And so let's pray and just thank God for our grace and commit our night of reflection to him. Our Father, we thank you that we are called to you through Christ, that you have set us apart individually and corporately as your own. Lord, we are saints, not in every aspect of our life, but you have set us apart as your holy ones, and we praise you and thank you for that. And we thank you for the work that you are continuing to do in our church. We thank you for the ways that you are manifesting your grace through the different ministries of our church, through the interactions and the growth and the knowledge of your word and the application of your word in our lives. And Lord, we thank you that we see the fruit of those gifts played out in the interactions in so many different ways, formal and informal. And Lord, we thank you that this work that you are doing is not yet completed, but it will be one day. Lord, we are just on that journey towards Christ's likeness, and one day you will present us blameless before you. Lord, we praise you that you will continue that work and that you have begun and that you have called us together into fellowship with you. And so, Lord, tonight is truly not about us. It's not about our church. It's ultimately about you and your work. Your work in our salvation and in our sanctification and the work that you will continue until our glorification. And so, Lord, tonight, as we reflect on these things, might it truly be a time of worship, of praising you for all that you continue to do. Lord, we are amazed, we are humbled by your kindness and grace towards us, and we just entrust our meeting to you now, and we pray that you would be exalted through all that is done. In Christ's name, amen. Well, it's our joy tonight as we begin our time to have a brief video that's a reflection of some of the special events and highlights from our year, just to recall all, a little bit of what the Lord has done over the course of 2019.
think about it, if I have two children fighting over the toy, I don't have a victim and a perpetrator. I have two children who are both caught up with love of self. And it's that love of self that's behind the fight over the toy. Now, what happens when beings that are uniquely designed for God, uniquely designed for worship, fail to worship the God for whom they're made? They don't cease worshiping. They just worship and serve created things rather than the Creator.
I know we in the text we started out with contempt for God, but as water flows downhill, contempt flows downhill. And you'll start out contempt with God, the gospel, your walk with God, and it'll flow downhill. And you'll lose sight of the sacredness of the assignment in parenting. You'll lose sight of the glory of God that can be found in the life of your child.
Jesus Christ is either the cornerstone on which you have cast yourself and your eternity and on which you are building your life, or he will be the rock that crushes you. Whether it's government, our elders, our bosses, our parents, our teachers, people are by nature rebels against God and against all the authority he's put in place, and it just comes spewing out. He gave you life, and then into that life, he came and gave you faith and repentance as gifts of his grace. He justified you, positionally set you apart to himself. He adopted you, and he is sanctifying you today, and someday will glorify you. It is all through him, through the sovereign, gracious work of God.
Well, after that, there's nothing else to do but to thank God for his great work in and through us this past year. So let's give our God thanks. Our Father, we thank you for this meeting tonight in which we have the opportunity to celebrate what you have accomplished in and through us during the past year. As we sat and watched the video, our hearts are amazed, overwhelmed, and filled with great joy at the work you have done and are doing in this church. Father, we thank you not only for the grace that you have given us in salvation, and we are grateful for that, but also for the grace gifting that you have provided so abundantly to this church. We are continually amazed at the depth and diversity that you continue to provide in this local congregation. We thank you also for providing the leadership that is consistently equipping the saints for the work of ministry. We're also thankful, Father, for providing this local church with so many willing volunteers that love the Lord Jesus Christ and have grateful hearts to serve him by serving one another in our congregation. We thank you, Father, for gifting and equipping so many people to serve in so many different areas of ministry needs in this church. Because of that, your truth, the gospel, is being consistently communicated to all the different age groups in our congregation. Father, we thank you that you are allowing undeserving sinners like us who have been redeemed by the cross of your Son, our Lord Jesus Christ, to participate in the greatest work on earth today. We bless your holy name. Father, we pray this to the glory of your Son, our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.
Thanks, Milt. Good evening. Wasn't that a great video of ministry? It was fantastic. Well, you know, that ministry takes funding. It takes money. And so what we're going to look at is the finance report, and just so you know, the man that normally does the finance report is Dwight Custis. He's done it for many years here. Well, Dwight's suffering with Bell's palsy. He's recovering, but he still got pain. And I'm sure Dwight would appreciate your prayers. You know, Dwight has served as the elder on the finance committee, but the group is led by Chairman Gary Dunlap. And the members are Brent Walker, Ron Lennington, Ronnie Kendall, Justin Hunter, and Jeff Scarborough. And these individuals have been on this committee for a long time. They've brought stability and they've brought competence to the financial areas. As you know, we've grown from a church that had a budget of $500,000 to a church now has a budget of $5,500,000. So it's a significant endeavor. And so if you see these men and women, thank them for being so faithful to our church in all these years. Well, let's look at two slides, only two slides, okay? So, but hopefully this will be helpful for you. The first slide is of our general fund, and it says it's from income and expenditures as of 12/31/2019. What that means is income is the giving that we all do. That's the giving. The expenses fund the ministries of this church. And this is for 4 months because we have a fiscal year that begins on October 1. So these finances are for October, November, December. And I see some of you that are doing math in your head, and you're looking at that going, well, we had an actual year-to-date from October through December of $2,000,002, and we had actual expenses of $1,000,002. That leaves us with a surplus of $1,000,000. And you're thinking, we're done. We don't need to give any more this year. Well, that would be wrong, and I'll tell you why. 35% of our giving for the year comes in December. And, you know, a lot of that is just, you know, people are able at that time of year to know what they've got left. And the giving is more at that time of year. We get some large gifts that time of year as well. So what that does is allows us then to fund the rest of the year. So it's kind of like a squirrel. You know, the squirrel gets the acorns and puts them up so they're not hungry in the winter. Well, we're a church that puts up a lot of acorns in the winter so that we don't get hungry during the summer, right? So don't stop giving when you see that we have $1,000,000 surplus. That would be a bad idea. If you remember last year in November, we did come to the, we made an announcement that the general fund was getting low. But as you can see, you helped us get back on track, and we're doing very well right now. So we're prepared for the summer, but please continue to give cheerfully as God has prospered you and consistently like you've done. Well, this is slide two. And slide two is a snapshot. It's just a picture of where the fund balances are at a certain period of time. And this gives you two time frames. The first is September 30th of 2019, and the second is December 31, 2019. So you can see that the general fund went from $1,003,000 in September to $2,002,000 in December. That's as a result of that December giving that we talked about. So it puts us in a position for the year to be able to fund the remaining of the year. The next fund is a debt reduction fund. The debt reduction fund is where money's put aside that people give to reduce the debt. And it grew to $66,000 in December, and we use that $66,000 in January to pay down part of our debt, part of our note. Now, you might remember when we built this building, we took out a loan of $8,500,000. The current balance of that note is $7,384,000. So we've paid off over $1,000,000 on that note, and that's a good thing. That's a good thing, and we will continue to reduce that debt. We have one offering a year that we give for that, as well as the monthly payments that we make. The next fund is a benevolence fund that was $256,000 in September and went to $269,000 in December. Now, that fund goes up and down based on the needs within our body. We use that fund for those that have financial needs in times of distress for them, and we're able to draw down that fund. It replenishes itself because of the giving that happens on each communion Sunday. So, you know, at any point in time, the needs in that fund can be very great. So it's good to have a balance there like we have. The last fund that is on that list is your designated fund, and that went from $1,688,000 to $1,568,000. So the designated fund is allocated for ongoing anticipated expenses that include capital projects throughout our campus, that benevolence for our missionaries, the TMS campus administration and scholarships, and church plant needs. It also includes funds for contingencies as they may arise. So that fund will also decline during the year, as expected. But as you see from those two slides, you know, a clear picture emerges, and that is God provides abundantly for our various ministries in this church, and he has continued. I've been in this church 26 years, and it's been this way every single year that God has provided for these ministries through the faithful giving of his people. All glory goes to our Lord, right? This morning we sang, the ensemble sang from Psalm 103. Psalm 103:21 says, "Bless the Lord, all you his hosts, you who serve him, doing his will. Bless the Lord, O my soul." Tom Beswick, I think, is going to come.
I'm a big believer in the two-slide presentation. In Psalm 105, verse 5, the psalmist writes that God is a God of faithfulness to all generations. And we certainly have seen that in this church. We see it annually. Let's go to the Lord and give him thanks and praise for his provision. And Lord God, great is your faithfulness. You are faithful in our lives individually, and you are faithful in this church. And Lord, we just have to look back in this past year, and we could go individually around this congregation tonight and hear stories of your faithfulness. But Lord, as a congregation, we gather, as your people, we gather to confess that whatever we have is from your hand. Lord, whatever financial stability we have individually or through this church is from your hand. And we acknowledge that, Lord God, and we praise you for your generosity and your provision. Lord, we thank you for not only providing the finances to maintain where we are, but Lord, you have provided finances that have enabled us to expand ministries, to plant a church, Lord, to make capital improvements on this property, Lord, all for the advancement of your plan and your purpose in this community. And Lord, we look forward to this next year. We look forward with confidence, not in ourselves, but in our God. Lord, may you give us wisdom as we give. May you give us wisdom as we allocate those funds for your honor, your glory, and your kingdom. Amen.
Well, first of all, let me say, Tom, you're going to be woefully disappointed if you believe in the two-slide rule moving forward, because I have a few more than that. But it is amazing to see God's faithfulness as we rehearse that over this last year. You saw some of that. I mean, obviously, no highlight video can capture all that's happened in this church. Like me, you have looked around and seen ministry going on and thought, our church has that? And it's amazing to see what the Lord does through his people. But I'm going to have the opportunity now just to sort of encapsulate some of the things that demonstrate God's faithfulness through this last year. I want to begin by just thanking the Lord and highlighting the people that God has raised up here to lead this church. I rejoice in the elders. There are 12 of them, as you can see here on the slide. I highlighted Terry Tyler because he is our newest elder joining us this last year. We're grateful the Lord continues to work through appointing those men, gifting those men, and bringing them to us who can serve as elders. There are one or two men now who are in that potential cycle of moving toward being elders, and we'll see what the Lord has, but we're grateful for his continued provision for our church in terms of leadership. I can tell you this, as I taught in Italy, it was my joy to be able to tell the men that I taught there, the pastors that I taught there, and there's a lot of concern about how elder rule works there. There's a lot of potential conflict and actual conflicts that occur in a number of settings, and I was able to tell them we know a sweet unity among our elders, and I'm just so grateful for these men. All of them are leaders, and not a wimp among them, and we can talk frankly about our about the issues. We can disagree, but in the end, there is a unity, and there is a relationship that is. There's no place I'd rather serve as an elder. Let me just say that. No place on the planet that I know of where I would rather be serving as an elder than with these men. So I'm grateful for them. In terms of the pastoral staff, there are eight of us on the pastoral staff. Some of these obviously are elders. This year, you know, for a number of years, we were looking, and I've shared with you, the elders have shared with you, that we were looking for men to add. That's a difficult thing. We had the desire to do that. We had the need for that as the church has grown, as you'll see in a moment, significantly. But finding those men and the Lord bringing them to us is a different thing. And in God's goodness, over this last year, we've been able to see three men added to our pastoral staff, men that you know, men that have, for the most part, been here, and then one man that is known to all of us from California. And so we're grateful for the Lord adding Vikram Pimplicker, Daniel Schubert, and Joshua Scarborough to our staff, and grateful for all that they bring, the giftedness that they bring. In terms of deacons, there are 14 deacons in our church, and no new deacons were added this last year, but we are in process of having some discussions with some who are potentially deacon qualified. So we're grateful for these men who serve faithfully, leading ministries. In terms of new staff, there were some new staff members added this year, and they're, again, filling positions that, in some cases, we've been looking for a long time. We've just been patient and waiting for the Lord to provide. We're grateful that he has. Lance Burroughs has come on as a seminary intern, helping us in a variety of ways on the pastoral side. Sonny Flores, Assistant Facilities Director. Noah Irvin, Assistant Technical Director. Jeremy Jessup, who is the design director. As many of you know, Andrew Hale was in that role for many years and has moved on to another responsibility, and so we're grateful for Jeremy's coming. Laura Parks as an administrative assistant to Daniel Schubert. Dan Thomas as the technical director, and Josh Thompson helping us on the video side. So we're grateful for these folks and what they've already brought to our church. Also, it was our joy this year, and he's the featured missionary this month in your bulletin, is Steve and Leslie Schneider. Steve has an amazing ministry down in Santiago, Chile, actually throughout the land of Chile. Chile, actually, is the way he says it. We're used to saying Chile, but it's Chile. And strengthening churches down there by strengthening pastors, equipping pastors. As you know, as a church, that's something that's a passion of ours, and God has given us a chance to partner with Steve and Leslie there. And there is a familial connection as well, but we're grateful for the ministry that that they have there in Chile. And you'll hear more about that in the days ahead. In terms of worship, just in terms of attendance, you can see that line continues to move upward as folks join with us, and it's consistent, healthy, steady growth, not too dramatic in ways that we can't keep up with and see people really incorporated into the life of the church, but healthy growth. And you know, the Lord does that. As you know, it's not because we're good at advertising or any of that. We don't. We just try to be faithful, and the Lord brings folks who love his word and his church as we do, the same priorities, and we're grateful for that growth. We continue also, not only in terms of the folks that attend here, but also through the live stream, to see folks reached consistently through each month. In fact, this is an interesting little graphic here. This is the services streamed to 34 different countries over this last year. You can see the blue dots represent the places where people have accessed the stream and watched our attended essentially our services when they were unable to physically. And you can see how they watch there on the right. You'll notice it's been interesting over the last year or two that trend has changed, and now the mobile environment has taken over the desktop. And so more and more people are streaming from their phones or their iPads as opposed to a desktop. And there are a few who do it through a TV app. As far as sermon series, this last year, Sunday morning, we made some progress in Romans. Romans 9, 6 through 12, 5, and three of, frankly, the hardest chapters in the book. And yet, for me, it was a great journey. I hope it was for you. We had, of course, I did a special Christmas series, four messages on Luke 2. And then in addition to that, some others, four soils, three hallmarks of a biblical church member, and then I did Temptations of the Digital Age as we looked at those issues that are confronting us daily and our families daily. Sunday evening, we covered Daniel. Now, see, we were speeding through Daniel. Last year, we did Daniel 3 through 9. And then, of course, in the summer series, the other pastors walked us through the attributes of God. And that was a great study together. As far as ministries, just giving you a little snapshot of ministries. Is that cute or what? That reminds me of all my daughters. But in a Sunday morning, on a typical Sunday morning, this is the average in the nursery, 114 children and 85 workers, and it's getting better. It's growing because we had 29 births last year, so that number is only increasing. Look at that 29 compared to the 114. You can see that there's a lot of growth in terms of what the Lord's doing from the ground up. This is our special needs ministry. I'm so grateful for those who serve in this, a wonderful ministry to our families. On a typical Sunday morning, there are 16 special needs children, and of course, a higher concentration of workers to help them, 30 workers, and we're so grateful for the ministry to those folks. As far as children 3+, you can see that in Sunday school, they average about 325 kids on a Sunday morning. In Awana, about 311. So every night we meet here, there are about 311 kids on average down there. And you can see the number of volunteers necessary in each case. And then for our children's choirs, averages about 122. So a lot of ministry to kids in this church, and I'm grateful for it. As far as students, you have three groups here with middle school and cross training. We have an average attendance of about 91 middle schoolers. In our cross culture, our high school ministry, an average attendance of about 101. And then in our college ministry roots, about 56. And of course, that ebbs and flows. Many folks are away during the school year at schools across Texas and other places and come back, and that's a larger number in the summer, but it varies as well. As far as life stage ministries, we have our young adult singles. You saw them on the video earlier, 128. And you can see that they average about 52 over this last year attending regularly, and there are more who are able to come at various times. Our young marrieds, 18 on average, and then young families, wow, 70 in that young family category who are regularly a part of that ministry. As you know, our partners ministry has been a significant part of what we've tried to do through the years. The elders wanted us to have a one-on-one discipleship program, and the Lord provided that through partners. And just in this last year, in 2019, 76 completed the partners program. 36 leaders were trained. Appreciate Terry Tyler and his leadership of this ministry. Since its inception, 492 have completed the Partners Program here at Countryside. So this year, we celebrate 500 who will have completed this program, which is a wonderful thing to see that many people one-on-one discipled through a great curriculum. It's in its fifth full year. It was written by Mike Fabares, and if you haven't been through that, I encourage you to really consider it. It's a scalable program, so in other words, our curriculum, so that if you're new in Christ, it'll fit you well. If you've been in Christ many years, it also can be scaled to fit you because there are other resources and things that you can do. So I encourage you to consider that. Our home fellowships in 2019 and 20 are going through 1 Corinthians 1 to 10. This curriculum, again, was put together by Rich Dewey. We're grateful for his ministry. We have 416 enrolled in our home fellowships, 18 groups, 12 different communities, and 2 languages. As far as our Sunday adult ministries, here is the average attendance for Sunday morning. You can see that in the first service, Worship service, about 535 is the average, 872 is the average in the second service, or the worship center average together is about 1,400. And then you can see Sunday school, adult Sunday school, at about 250 each hour, or about close to 500 on average each week. And then our Sunday evening service, we average about 328 here. But of course, again, you got to add the 400 or so from Awana as well, who are down in the children's building. This is our maximum attendance through this last year. The first service, the maximum was right at our capacity, 1,100. And the second service maximum was 986. This would have been on Easter, probably on a holiday. And then our Sunday school, 578. And so our worship center total for a single Sunday was 2,000. And then in the evening, 465 was our maximum. A lot of things happened this last year. I just touched base on a couple of them. I'm excited about the opportunity to teach the men on a teaching seminar. It was 3 days, April 2nd, April 16th, April 30th. The first session, I dealt with the issue of exegesis, studying the passage of Scripture. The second session was exposition, creating an expository message from that exegesis. And then the third session, not everybody participated in, but it was a practicum on teaching that expository message. So they actually had to create a message, and then a number of us critiqued them, gave them feedback on their messages. Approximately 100 men attended the training, and 30 of those men taught and their messages and were evaluated during the practicum. So that's, as the Lord wills, continuing to look to the future here in our church. Another really exciting part of our ministry to me, and it's one of those that just kind of goes on that you don't see week in and week out, but we are a distance location for the Master's Seminary. And many of you who've been here, you understand that. We have an MDiv four-year program that meets right here on our campus. The classes are a combination of two-way live classes by video, where it's like you're sitting in the back of the classroom there in California by video. You can ask questions, and the professor can respond to you, sees you on a corresponding screen in the back of the classroom there. Then we have online classes that are taken, and then we have some in the pastoral ministries track that I and others of our staff teach here. The first cohort began in the fall of 2016, the second cohort the following fall, and then we skipped a year, but we had our third cohort begin the fall of 2019. 9 students are midway through the four-year program, and we have a great outlook for this coming fall. Some other men that are planning to join us. So we're excited about seeing that continue to grow. Just think about that as a church. We have the opportunity to see right now almost 10 men prepared for ministry and in the future in the Lord's church. So we're grateful for that. And again, you pray that will continue to grow. There's a point, there's a ceiling, but we're not there yet. So we're excited about the potential growth for that in the future. This last year, we had our annual conference. You saw a little clip of it from Ted Tripp, Shepherding the Next Generation. And Ted Tripp, Phil DeCourcy, Jim Neuheiser, Daniel Bennett, Chris Reiser, Rocky Wyatt, approximately 700 adults attended the conference, and over 365 children and another 115 volunteers participated in the kids ministry. It's just a great conference. So much equipping happened through that. Also this last year, we had a first, and I shared it with you, but we had the privilege to begin a fellowship of pastors. It's called the Master's Fellowship. It's more of a national fellowship of churches out of California, out of Grace Community Church there. But we are in the central region of that. And as you can see here, the byline is, it's an association of pastors and missionaries bound together by love for the living word as revealed in the written word. And this past October 3rd, we had our inaugural Central Region Shepherds Gathering. It was themed Navigating the Trials and Triumphs of Ministry. It was my joy to teach a session. A couple of the other men taught, and we had some Q&As and other things, great fellowship. We had 38 pastors and church leaders attend, and 20 wives came with them. So it was just a really refreshing time. We're looking at doing a second annual conference this year in October. So you can be in prayer about that. As you saw in the video, we did go to Israel, 158 people, 11 days, 4 buses, 4 pastors, 2 worship leaders, that's Seth and Kirsten, and 1 really great tour of Israel. Let me just say, by the way, some have asked, what's the next trip or when are we going back to Israel? I've heard that, you know, like the day we got back. So let me just say that the elders have not decided that. We are investigating some things, and in fact, I'm going to be having a conversation in the next couple of weeks about a possible tour of the cities of Paul, and we'll see what that's like, and I'll have a chance to bring that to the elders. We'll have a chance to talk it through together, see if it's the right fit for our church, but you can keep that in mind. And I suspect sometime in the next handful of years, we'll be looking at a return to Israel. So if you kind of got that in the back of your mind, then you can think about saving your shekels and moving in that direction. In terms of outreach, one thing that began this year is the end of last year, we returned to radio on December 30th. 2019, we joined KCBI, 90.9 FM, Monday through Friday. It's a time slot, as I mentioned to you, that's not when most of us are awake, 12:30 a.m., but because of the nature of the station, it has a large audience all day and night. And it is the largest Christian talk station in America. And so everybody who is in Christian radio wants to be there, and they graciously have allowed us to be there, and there are folks in our church who wanted to make that happen and have supported that. And so we're excited to be there. So if you're up at 12:30, you can listen, or you can also just go to their website and you can stream it. And that's, I think, how a lot of folks will do it. Or you can stream it from our own website, from the Word Unleashed, and hear the broadcast that way as well. As you can see, they do the ratings, you know, in terms of listening audience, and even at that time slot, about 3,000 people are listening every day, and they have obviously a much larger potential audience. So we'll see what the Lord does and what other opportunities might come in the days ahead, but we're grateful to be there. We are getting feedback, by the way. In fact, just on Friday, I walked into Evelyn's reception area, and she said she'd just gotten a call from a lady, and KCBI has also shared some feedback with us, so we're grateful for that. In terms of other outreach, obviously our international friends at Countryside is a huge part of our outreach in the area. We're so grateful for all of those who commit time every Thursday to minister to those folks, and we've seen folks come to Christ. We have now a Sunday school class with English as a second language, and we're just grateful for the Lord's continued work there. Also, our Kids Beach Club continues to reach into the area schools after school, a great ministry. Our annual basketball camps reach into the community. A lot of folks who are not a part of our church come to those and gives us a great opportunity to share the gospel. You saw the mission trips to the Dominican Republic, to the Czech Republic, and then Grace Ministries. We've been able to partner with them in some ways, and then Hope House International as we've seen kids adopted into Christian families. Also, we have 16 missionary families that we support in 10 countries, and you can see the list of them here. I won't go through them all. Stop by at some point out here just outside the worship center to my left over there. There's the Missions Corner. And if you haven't done that, I hope you'll stop by and see and make a note of some folks you can pray for. And I put here, there are 2 families I didn't put by name because this is being broadcast, but we have 2 families who do serve in the Middle East and as well, so you can be in prayer for all of those folks. In terms of our campus, just a couple of things to note in terms of facility improvements. Some of you are grateful for this because you're in these buildings all the time and you see these things. We're grateful for Steve Armstrong and Sonny Flores and the others who work so hard on these things. But we replaced the carpet in the north-south buildings as well as the fellowship hall and the chapel buildings. We added a seminary classroom, a second classroom, because as the number of students and the cohorts have grown in the north building. They painted the fellowship hall, the south building, and the chapel. Added terrace landscape to the south worship center stairs. and replaced the north and east parking lot lights and built two sheds for all the stuff we need to care for this this campus God has given us. And just a special thanks, let me say, to our facilities volunteers. On the landscaping side, Tony Moorhead and the volunteers that work with her. She and that group of people are truly amazing. I mean, our campus looks like a park, a well-maintained park, just really a resort in many ways. And it's because of their ingenuity, creativity, and hard work, and we're so grateful. In terms of preparing the worship center, this large room, there's a lot that has to be done here to get this ready for us every Lord's Day, and we're grateful to Gwen, the volunteers who served to make that happen week in and week out. And then our building repairs and installations outside of our staff, the Barnabas Builders have been such a huge help in those things, so we're grateful for their ongoing ministry. In terms of some technical improvements, we continue to try to bring all the buildings up to speed in the 21st century here. It's expensive to do so. We have to kind of stay after it. But we worked with an AV company to redo and upgrade the audio and lighting here in the worship center. There were some sound-related issues, and hopefully you can see and notice that those things have happened. I certainly have, and I know many of you have mentioned that. Upgraded the AV in the south building and the children's building up in the upstairs, those large classroom areas. With standardized equipment, we added 6 cameras here to the worship center for live streaming, and they also function in the case that we need them on a security basis. As you saw earlier, we hired some folks to help us with the technical side of things as well, the technical director and the video director. Of course, a big part of this last year for us was launching last January the concept of the church plan and moving toward that. And the send-out that's just happened recently. Just so excited about that. We had the elders and pastoral staff leadership had a great time with Dusty and Rebecca, even on Thursday night, just a personal time to celebrate them, to say a kind of formal goodbye at a personal level. They're still here in the area, and we still will be interacting, but it'll be different. We recognize that. We're grateful for them and their willingness. About 50 families have gone with them. And in the meantime, eventually our goal is for them to be fully self-sustaining, both in terms of leadership and financially. But in terms of leadership, for now there's a partnership between Dusty and the elders here, and they'll become autonomous when Northlake Bible Church is financially independent and has 3 elders. And they're moving toward qualified elders as well. So this is in progress. And at launch, they had a worship band led by Dusty, children's and youth ministries, adult home fellowships, men's and women's events periodically, and community outreach. So they really launched with all the ministries that you need in that area. You know that we just had, the last 3 dates on this little slide, we just had the send-out service in January. January 12th was their first meeting at the school, and coming up on February 16th will be their public launch there in Northlake. So you can be in prayer that that will go well, that folks will really connect with that church. They're already, Dusty was telling me just Thursday night, we're already seeing people from the community come. They haven't even publicly launched yet, and they're already seeing people come, visit, and some of them who are staying and coming back week in and week out. So we're grateful for that. This is where they're meeting, Lance Thompson Elementary School. This is the beginning of the setup there. You can see, you know, the sign that welcomes folks. That room's not quite set up. This gives you a picture of what it looks like when they meet to worship. You can see there the church meeting, and we're grateful for what the Lord's doing there in Northlake. And, of course, we gave you prayer cards. I hope that you put that somewhere where you can pray for Dusty and Rebecca, for that church as they continue to grow. So as we look forward to this year, that's kind of a glance back, and that's just a few snapshots. Honestly, there's so many things that happen, you can't rehearse them all. But as we look forward to this coming year, there are a couple things I want to mention to you, just to be in prayer about and to be aware of. Obviously, coming up very quickly is the Missions Conference, The Unfinished Task, February 21 to 23. Dr. Dave Doran will be with us, someone I have known since my seminary days. He has written a really helpful book called For the Sake of His Name on the issue of missions, and looking forward to having him with us. Dr. Paul Brown, who's been here before, I know you'll enjoy and appreciate his ministry. Very much a missions-minded man, very much involved in missions. And, of course, our own Dr. Doug Briggs, whom we all love and appreciate the 20-plus years of service in Tibet when he represented the Lord and us there planting churches. Mark, who's doing that now in the Middle East, and then Jonathan Anderson, our own Jonathan Anderson, who's very much involved on our staff side in the missions side of things. Another thing to mention is we are revising our membership process. We're going to make it much harder to become a... No, just kidding. That was a joke. Essentially, the new process contains all of the elements of the old process, but it's enhanced and expanded. We just realized that people are coming into our church now from all kinds of backgrounds. We can't really assume anything, and so we just want to be as careful as we can in that process to bring them up to speed where they're comfortable with what's going on here. And so the membership class is now a 3-week class meeting during the second service on Sunday morning. Week 1 is an overview of membership and the doctrinal statement. Week 2 is an overview of our distinctives, our constitution, bylaws, and essentials. Week 3 is an overview of the ministries here, the leadership, and the staff. And the membership classes are conducted about every other month. And appreciate Joshua Scarborough and his taking the leadership of this as the elders have tasked him with what we discussed. This came out of a discussion at our elders' retreat, the importance of making sure that as people come to our church, as the church has grown, that they really are embraced and that they embrace what we embrace. And so we're grateful for this change, and it's ongoing now in that training. Another thing that we're really excited about is the counseling training. Daniel Schubert, who many of you have met, has joined our staff this last year. He has his doctorate in counseling from Southern. He also attended Master's Seminary, and he was working in the counseling area, teaching classes and grading papers at the Master's University, and working with Dr. John Street and others there. And so he came to join our staff to do, certainly to help us using his skills to counsel people, but also to help us train others to do what he does. And so here's the vision: to equip the body of Christ to speak the truth in love to one another so that the church is built up into the likeness of Christ, training both the church as a whole and those who desire to serve the counseling ministry at Countryside. So that's the vision. The plan is this: to offer biblical counseling training beginning with the ministry leaders, the current ministry leaders. The training lasts about 2 years, classes in the spring and summer. And right now, over 70 of our leaders here at Countryside are being trained in counseling. The plan is to pursue becoming an ACBC, that is the Association of Certified Biblical Counselors, formerly NANC, to become an ACBC-approved training center in the future if the Lord wills and if they're willing to accept us to that end. But so offer that counseling training, and then secondarily to develop a counseling team out of that to come alongside pastoral staff and minister to people with ongoing counseling needs. So we're really excited about this. This is a constant need in every church, and we're grateful for Daniel, for his leadership, and for the opportunities that lie before us here. And I know some of you are already involved in that. I'm getting great feedback from you, so I'm glad for that. As far as I mentioned the Master's Fellowship this last year, we're going again this year, a one-day gathering for pastors, missionary, and wives. Attendees from Arkansas, Oklahoma, Louisiana, and Texas. That's the central region, hosted by our church. We're looking at October of this year. In addition to that, we're going to aim to have quarterly regional pastors' lunches. That is, our goal would be to have pastors from the DFW metro area gather together for lunch, for fellowship, and just to encourage one another on a quarterly basis, the other three quarters, as opposed to the one quarter that we assemble from all over the region The other three quarters we dissemble just in the metro area. And so you can pray that that will be beneficial and helpful. So those are just a few things. Let me just remind you that all of that, ultimately, everything we've talked about falls under the mission that Christ himself gave us. When we read these words in Matthew 28, Jesus came up and spoke to them saying, "All authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. Go therefore and make disciples of all the nations." Now, that's where most people stop, and that's evangelizing, and that's bringing the gospel to them and having them embrace that gospel. But that's not where the Great Commission ends. It goes on to say, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to observe all that I commanded you. When you add those two pieces, guess where those things happen? They happen in local churches like ours. And so this is our mission. This is what the Lord has given us to do. And all of the things that we've talked about tonight ultimately fall under this rubric, under this great command that our Lord has given us. And we're excited to see what he will continue to do in the year before us. 2019 was a great year, but we're excited about what the Lord will do in this year to come. Well, a couple more things to do before we're done tonight. One of those is just to say thank you. I've already said thank you to the elders who serve alongside of me and that I have the privilege of serving alongside. It's a great group of men, but every year there is one of those men who has the responsibility of leading the elder board, that is, of leading the meetings, of putting them together, of keeping us on task. And let me tell you, it's a bit like herding cats. But we're grateful for those men who agree to do that and do it so well year in and year out. And this year, this past year, I'm so grateful for Gary Amack and for the privilege of serving with him. One of the great joys of mine is that I get to have regular lunches with the chairman of the elder board, and I've enjoyed our fellowship, appreciate his leadership through this year, his heart for the Lord, his heart for this church, his heart for the Word of God. I have a little gift for him, so I'm going to ask him to come down here, but let's thank him together. Well, thank you, Gary. Appreciate so much your ministry. Well, it also is my joy to recognize and invite the incoming chairman of our elder board for this year to come and close our time together in prayer. And after he has closed us in prayer, Seth Bigelow is going to come and lead us in a closing song. But this coming year, it's going to be my joy. We've already had a chance to get together to work with Chaz Morse, and grateful for his willingness to serve. Let's thank him together as well.
Thank you, Pastor. I do enjoy herding cats. That wasn't the qualification. Can you herd cats? No. What a privilege it is to be able to serve and to be here. And that's what our role is as elders. We are our servant leaders. And just pray that we would just serve you with the humility of our Lord Jesus Christ. Let's pray and thank God for this incredible evening. Our gracious Heavenly Father, you are faithful as we read at the beginning of the service. We know in Psalm 103 that your steadfast love reaches out, and we can never totally comprehend what that means in our own lives. We thank you for the diversity and the giftedness in this congregation. We thank you, Father, for the way that you have equipped each of us to serve. Serve each other for your honor and for your glory. We are committed to carry out this great commission as Pastor said, in Matthew 28. We think of baptism, which really incorporates evangelism and presenting the gospel and really wooing people and encouraging them, Father, in faith and repentance. And then discipleship, teaching them. And that's really what we have seen this evening, Father, from all the different ministries. We thank you, Father, that you love your church. We thank you, Father, for just how you have equipped those in the church so that we can serve you for your honor and for your glory in teaching and exhortation, in evangelism, and all the other gifts that we are talking about, serving, helping, giving. And you have equipped us to accomplish that. We thank you, Father, for the new staff members here to enhance the ministry, to carry out that mission that has been described. We thank you for the new missionaries, for Steve and Leslie, and for the 10 other or the 16 other missionaries that are ministering in 10 different countries. We are thankful for the resources to improve the streaming capability. We thank you for the seminary, and we thank you, Father, for those who give hilariously to basically enable this body of believers to glorify your name. So many more things that we could pray for today, for tonight. And Father, may we never just take this as something that we have achieved. May we never in pride look at ourselves and say, wow, look at us. But may we in humility realize that it is you that has really ultimately blessed everything that we have here. And we do pray, Father, for the deacons and for the elders. We pray for purity. We pray that we would continue to be on our knees and in humility receiving the word implanted so that we can be effective in our service leadership and our servant leadership and ministry to this body of believers. And Father, now we pray all these things in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.